We open our Bibles together this morning to God's Word in Proverbs chapter 24. We'll begin our reading at verse 17. Proverbs 24:17, "Rejoice not when thy enemy falleth, and let not thy heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? These things belong also to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth a right answer. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me. I will render to the man according to his work. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was grown over with thorns and nettles, and covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man." May God bless his word to our hearts as we have read it. On the occasion of baptism this morning, I direct our attention to verses 30 through 32. "I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding, and lo, it was grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and received instruction." In the Old Testament, the way God's blessing was expressed upon a man were in the following words, frequently found in the Old Testament: "They shall sit every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." A vineyard and its vines, pruned and weeded upon some sunny slope in the land of Palestine, well maintained, the wine press in working order, and the grapes matured and the wine flowing forth, represented God's covenant blessing of the satisfaction and joy and peace that is to be found in God. The vineyard in our text is a picture, represents God's blessing upon a believing home, upon Christian marriage, upon godly children, upon the Church of Jesus Christ, upon our Christian schools. The vineyard speaks of the heritage that the Lord has given. And with that heritage, with that vineyard, with that blessing, comes a calling: tend your vineyard. Do not let the weeds of sloth, especially what we battle against as God's children this morning, is the sin of apathy and neglect and the thorns of increasing worldliness and love for this world apart from God, which brings us the nettles, the prickers of troubles. God says to us this morning, be diligent in the blessing that God has given to you in your vineyard. Realize its value. With Solomon, observe what will come in the way of a sinful neglect, and specifically tend well to the spiritual life of your children, those children we cherish. They're precious to us. That they may grow strong and faithful, bring forth fruit unto God, to His glory, and to our joy. The heart of the book of Proverbs is wisdom. And wisdom, we focus now upon our text, the wisdom that is being taught us in Christ, wisdom is Christ, but specifically the wisdom that is focused in our text is the grace to make a proper assessment of value. The wise man is able to assess spiritual value. He knows what is important. We ask the question, how do I manage my time? There are so many demands. And God responds, pray to me for wisdom. And wisdom is the grace to know value. What's valuable in your life? And give yourself to it. The foolish man is not able to evaluate value. He does not understand the pearl of great price to be found in Christ and in God. Solomon did not spend every day upon that beautiful throne that he had made out of ivory in Jerusalem, but Solomon the king would frequently make trips through the countryside of Palestine. And being a man of wisdom, he would scrutinize the things that he was seeing. He was constantly in his day making spiritual applications and lessons from earthly things. And he passed by. We get the picture that perhaps the chariot reined up. And he passed by a vineyard. He's on the road. He passes by a vineyard of a man who was Mr. Lazy Bones. And the vineyard had gone to pots. It was overgrown with weeds, with the worst kinds of weeds and nettles. The protective wall for his house and vineyard had crumbled in a number of places. He had let everything go to sloth, and what was behind that sloth was that this man had no wisdom. He gave his pursuits, his heart, his time, his energy to the things of this life and himself, but not to that vineyard. And Solomon saw immediately the connection to things spiritual. He saw a parable. He saw the results of spiritual negligence in our own calling with our children and family. He considered it well. It sunk down into his heart. It was more than a passing impression. He saw what must be avoided by God's grace. And he saw positively the zeal and the love that must be given unto the vineyard of the Lord. Now let's receive instruction this morning from God. The lines are fallen unto me in places broad and fair. A goodly heritage is mine, marked out with gracious care. Let's apply that. Our vineyard. Our own spiritual life and blessings from God, and especially with respect to our children and the instruction of those children as they are the vineyard from the Lord. Tending to our vineyard, let's assess its value, let's receive instruction, and let's be inspired to diligence. I said, this is very important to the text, wisdom is the grace to know the value of spiritual things and the value of what God has given to you, is able to assess the value of your inheritance, your spiritual inheritance. Wisdom is to know its value. Solomon was not looking at any old vineyard, but he was looking at that vineyard in the land of Canaan, and such vineyards represented the blessing of God's covenant. It represented what life in the covenant of God was. The vineyard expressed a number of things to the children of God, to us. The vineyard tells us that what we have spiritually in our faith and in our church and in our homes and Christian schools is graciously given by God. This inheritance had been marked out for them. The boundaries, God Himself had laid out the boundaries and placed the stones at the corner. It came to them from God graciously, just like our marriages, our children. They come from God. And with that vineyard came a calling from God to maintain it, to develop it, to make it fruitful, to work it, to keep it in a good state so that they could pass it down to the generation which would follow them. They had to tend that vineyard daily. When you have a garden or a vineyard, it takes daily work. You can't let it pile up or it will get over your head. And of course, the question here of this foolish man is, what will this man whose vineyard has become so wretched, he's rejected caring for it, what will he have? What will he have to pass on to his children since his vineyard has fallen into disrepair and worthlessness? Still more, the keeping then of the vineyard displayed, and for us as well, displays what we think. It displayed what this man thought of his inheritance. It displayed what he thought of spiritual things, of God, and of God's promises. And this is the crucial point. How, this is important, young people, all of us, how you treat spiritual things shows what you think of them in your heart. We don't need to tell someone what we think of God, His church, this morning. They can see it in how we treat it. This man neglected his vineyard. He showed what he thought of his inheritance. He showed what he thought of heaven and of spiritual things. The energy and the commitment and the involvement and the sacrifices that a man shows reveals where his love is, where the interest of his heart is. And from the road, Solomon could assess the spiritual status of this man. You could size him up. You could tell where this man's heart was not. It was not in his vineyard. It was not in his family. It was not in his wife. It was not in his children. It was not in God. It was not in the covenant. It was not there. Children, you remember Naboth and Ahab? You remember Ahab? Naboth? Right next to Ahab's palace, right next to it, was Naboth's inheritance, his vineyard. And Ahab wanted an expansion of his garden. He wanted to turn Naboth's vineyard into an arboretum, a little herb garden. And he came to Naboth and he says to him, "I'll trade. I'll give you one better. Or I'll give you better than fair market value." Now, you can decide for yourself whether you would ever trust a man like Ahab. But the point is that Naboth immediately responded. Do you remember the words that he responded to the king with, even to the king? God forbid it me that I should give my inheritance, my vineyard, unto thee. His vineyard was precious to him. He would never give it up. But this man didn't care. He didn't care. And everything got overgrown in noxious weeds. And so this vineyard speaks to us of a certain richness of God's favor. The man would get in his vineyard, the man and his wife would get grapes and raisins and wine. And the Bible tells us that at the time of harvest there would be singing and dancing and joy over God's blessing. Remember, it was a sign of God's favor. A man's vineyard was God's favor upon a man. You remember when the 12 spies, children? The 12 spies brought back proof that Canaan was rich. How did they do it? They brought back that cluster of grapes that took two men to carry. The vineyard had been carefully laid out. And in this vineyard, this man would have enjoyed the love and the presence of God. But Solomon states that the man's vineyard was in a wretched state, and it showed that he was a sluggard. I went by the field of the slothful and the vineyard of a man void of understanding. And the word void of understanding does not mean he was ignorant. It did not mean that a person lacks education. To be void of understanding doesn't mean that you don't know about the church and God's promises this morning. That was not the problem. This man was not a city boy who had never seen a grape and thought that they came from the fresh fruit department of a grocery store and for the first time was dropped down into a vineyard. Oh no, he knew. He had been taught. He had been shown by his father how to keep up a vineyard, how to keep it in good shape. It was a matter, the void of understanding is a matter of the heart. It is the issue of where this morning you are placing your value. What is valuable to your heart? The inheritance, these spiritual things of Jesus Christ, to this man were just not of any great importance. They didn't really move him. Other things supplanted the love of his heart. This man's heart was in the wrong place. And thus, he was a fool because he did not know eternal value. He did not have understanding in his life. And he became a sluggard. He became a sluggard in spiritual things. He might not have been a sluggard in other things. He might have been ready to go when there was a party. Ready to go when there were earthly things for him to gain for his flesh. But with respect to spiritual things, it was all weeds. It was all covered over. All kinds of thorns and nettles. The worst kind of weeds. They're the worst kinds. You grab hold of them and you get stung. You hardly want to even go into the field. And so neglected was this vineyard that it became worthless. Year after year, a little bit worse, a little bit more neglect. First few years, a few grapes, they got by. But finally it came to the point that you would say, bulldoze it. It's too late. It's too late. Now we can apply this Word of God to many ways, and I want to spend just a brief moment now applying it in general to every one of us with respect to our spiritual life, your vineyard, your spiritual life. I want to ask you from God, how is your vineyard, the inheritance, those precious things of God given unto your soul? The godly life to show that you belong to God in the world. Your life in the church. Your church attendance. Your devotions and your personal prayer and your walk with God. How are you treating spiritual things in Christ? How you treat them? You can argue as long as you want. The fact remains. How we treat them shows the place that the Lord Jesus and His truth and salvation have within our hearts. Is my life overgrown with weeds, stingers, nettles, spiritual things, time for the world, for all kinds of things? But my personal devotions, the wall is broken down. And God says, oh, be wise. Give assessment to spiritual things. But this morning, we must direct our thoughts to our marriages, to our families, and to our children, and to that vineyard that the Lord hath planted. Your inheritance is your wife, your husband. Psalm 128, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thy house. Are you pulling up in your marriage noxious weeds, stinging nettle of bitterness and anger, thorns of evil words which go down into the soul? Are you confessing faults? Are we praying one with each other? Are we keeping the vineyard of marriage in love, that Christ may abide with us? Then there's that inheritance of our children. The Bible refers to our children as plants. The Bible calls our children the seed of the Lord, the covenant. And therefore, our homes are soil, greenhouse, vineyard. We're raising up these children. They need pruning. They need care. They need tending. They need weeding. Children, Psalm 127, are the heritage of the Lord. And the question now that we want to face at this point in the sermon is this. Do you know the value of your children, of your spiritual inheritance? Do you? And I speak not now only from the point of that natural point of view. We love our children. I'm not speaking just of that point of view as a natural man would or should. But I ask you, do you know the value of your children? Our children have been bought with the blood of the Son of God. That's what baptism represented. That God has purchased them at the price of the blood of His dear and only Son. This is what we confessed at the font this morning when we presented our children, and when in this Christian church we exercise the sacrament of infant baptism. How valuable are they to God? Now, do you not think that God will ask with respect to your children, what have you done with the inheritance, with the vines, with the vineyard given to you? They have the greatest possible value. We cannot comprehend this. It is of grace that the Son of God says, in order that the children, my children, might be given to you to raise and to nurture in your family, I have shed my own blood to make this happen. Jesus said, of these children is the kingdom of God. They have been purchased by the blood of the shepherd. And that means that not only are these two precious little girls are children, all of them. Not only are they entrusted to these parents, but they are entrusted to us as the church of the Lord, the body of Christ. The Lord, in His wisdom, may lead you in a way in your marriage that you are not given children of your own. The Lord may take children in death. And the Lord, in His wisdom, may call us to serve Him in a single life. But every one of us, bound in the blood, have received and have responsibility for the children of the church. We feel this morning in death so strongly the bond that is in Christ. We are one family in Christ, and these children belong to us as the body of Christ. And you as a young person have a tremendous impact on the children. Do you know their value? Thus receive instruction. Solomon says, "Then I saw and considered it well. I looked upon it and I received instruction." And the instruction that we receive is, first of all, not the warning, but let's be instructed in the tremendous blessing and the calling and opportunities that God has given to us. So to speak, I can say to these families and to our families this morning and to us, I can say to these families, you're not a pioneer. You have received an inheritance that has been worked upon throughout the ages. You weren't the one, so to speak, to go out into the prairie of the world for the first time, into the wilderness of wild beasts, and cut down and plow virgin soil and plant a vineyard where there never was a vineyard. That's happening in missions this morning. They're starting a vineyard. But that's not the case here. Your fathers, in the Reformed biblical faith, have gone before you and have tended the vineyard. And they have been an example to you. You receive this morning. We receive. We have received in this church as Israel a vineyard that we have not planted. God has planted this vineyard in His grace to former generations before us. We have received rich spiritual blessings. We have received the heritage of the truth of God, the Reformed and biblical and beautiful truth. And God has given to us this inheritance, this truth standing in the ages. And He's given it to us so that we may inculcate it into the hearts of our children. And we might prepare our children for this vineyard, because we believe that they will be the possessors of the vineyard in the day of Antichrist, when they must be killed and rejected for this truth. God has given to us the church. The precious church, He gave it to us. The fellowship of believers, faithful elders and faithful deacons, the preaching of the Word, He's given to us the inheritance. He gave it. We have been blessed with Christian parental schools. Our fathers have joined together in faith as parents. And in their faith, they have said, we want to have a teacher to teach our faith, the faith we confess, to our children, Christian schools. We have been given this blessing. We have been given not only these blessings of home and church and Christian school, not only these spiritual blessings, but we have been given physical blessings. Yes, economically, it's hardship maybe for your family. Economically, the golden age of equity and of real estate, those days may be over. That might be totally gone. The days of great prosperity. But God, this morning, has blessed us financially and physically. He's given us children. There's growth in children. Larger schools, expansion at Covenant, perhaps the need for expansion in grade schools. Do we know the value? Do we assess the value? Do we trust the Lord to provide? God has blessed us with civil liberties as the Church of Jesus Christ to teach our children the truth of the Bible without restriction. You say to me, yeah, but the day is coming. And yes, we see that that day certainly is coming. It for sure is. We may this morning preach. You may go home and teach our children. We must labor ere the night come, when no man can labor. We have been given the Bible in our own language. We have been given this Bible through the blood of the martyrs of Jesus Christ. The Bible, the living Word of God, we have it. We can understand it. We are a privileged generation. What a privileged generation. What a blessed inheritance. What rich soil. Well marked out. Do we know the value of things? Let us receive instruction this morning on the dangers. Because the text speaks not only of dangers from within, but it speaks of those dangers from without. Solomon said the stone wall thereof was broken down. And that stone wall for the vineyard in Israel was not a decorative thing. It was not like driving through Kentucky in April and those beautiful white fences with the large horse ranches, white fence line with budding dogwood trees and perfectly pristine white fences. Beautiful. No. The wall that is referred to is not that wall. This wall was made of stones. Those stones were hauled out of the field and they were put one by one. And it was for defense. Read Psalm 80. Wild boars would get in to root up the vines. Robbers would take. So they'd have a watchman take at night and strip the vine bare. And Scripture gives us an illustration of this in Solomon's own vineyard. In the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15, we find Solomon's wife warning him. And evidently, there's a problem with the wall of the vineyard, their vineyard. She says to him, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. These cunning little foxes. And I picture Solomon's wife coming to him, king, There's something about the wall of our vineyard that I need to talk to you about as my husband. Your son, Jedidiah. Your daughter, Jemima. They evidently have been influenced by the boys and girls at the market, and they're trying to use language and attitude toward me that they've learned from other children. Or, Solomon, you hired those men to dig your well a little deeper. And did you know what those men told your son? Solomon, we need to take care of the wall. We need to talk about this. These little foxes. The application is that we must guard, we must be vigilant over our spiritual vineyard. Now, Satan has weaknesses. Yes, you heard me right. He has weaknesses. One of them is anger. He's so angry he doesn't see straight. But I'm going to tell you one weakness that he does not have. Sloth. He's not lazy. He is not. Satan is not indifferent about you. And he has the whole world, and the whole world is not indifferent about you and your children and the confession that you make and what you represent on this earth. He is not indifferent. He wants it broken down. He wants to break down the wall of your vineyard. He wants to spoil your children. He wants to carry your children clean away. He's the one, Jesus' parable, of the evil one who sowed the tares while the man slept. While you sleep, Satan sows tares. You went to bed, young people were over, and they watched what? What did they watch while you slept? What did they watch? Was it the tares of the evil one to sow weeds? To choke out purity? What comes into your home? On the television? And on the internet? We put what on a computer? What is it called? It's called a fire wall. There's more truth to that than you think. We call them parental control. Noxious weeds. Yes, disrespect. Arguing. But worse, if I may say worse, drinking. Lust. Total preoccupation with this life. The vineyard of this slothful man, with respect to his children, went this way. This is what this man said to his children. You can do what you want. You can do what when you want. And you can do with whom you want. Just don't do anything to get me involved. To get me to lose my time. Do whatever you want. Just don't make me suffer. We are called to consistent, to wise, to loving nurture. Your children will say to you today, Dad, you told me that 100 times. And then you say to them, good. And now we begin our second 100, because what I'm saying to you is so important. And if you don't see it, it will bring disaster into your life. And it will bring consequences that you don't see. But I do. Because I've been down that road. I've seen it. And so we value the church and the home. and the Christian schools so much. And the battle is raging over our inheritance. And so we are inspired to diligence. Psalm 80, verse 14. Return, O, we beseech thee, Lord of hosts, look down from heaven and behold this vine, the vineyard which thy right hand hath planted, and the branch that thou hast made strong for thyself. Cause thy face to be shine, and we shall be saved. We must have a heart for knowledge. We cannot instruct our children if we are ignorant. The reading of good books, a love for sound doctrine. When our Bible studies begin in but a few months, they must be well attended, especially by young couples, that we can study together, that we can encourage each other, that we can speak with one another. We must lay aside time to study the Word of God, to be armed with the Word of God. What are you going to do this afternoon? Consider well this slothful man. I picture him. Maybe you picture him as your age. I picture him, this slothful man, at my age. And his vineyard is overgrown with weeds on the Sabbath day. None of his children, none of his family, none of his grandchildren are in church today. They're with him, using the day for self. And maybe with the sprinkling of spiritual blessing from their church. The Sabbath is the wall of your vineyard. Is it broken down? The wall of your vineyard is marriage. If these vines are the children, then the wall is your marriage. Let not our marriages crumble in selfishness and grudges and unforgiveness, so that the foxes and the boars can destroy the vines. Let us be inspired in humility with zeal. Let's pray for wisdom. Let's ask God to give us to know the value of a thing in our heart. The world does not know the value of children. They don't. The world, from the street, Solomon was from the street looking. The world from the street can see an old motorcycle frame from the 40s or 30s and catch the value. They can catch the value of a baseball card found in an attic. And they can catch the value or the devalue of stocks in Facebook. They get it, and they get it quick. But they do not get the value of children. They abort them. And the anti-Christian world hates the children of believers and is determined to root everyone out. Our encouragement is the Lord and His promises. I will bless you and your children. Our encouragement is the harvest, when we will come with singing. Our encouragement is when you make confession of your faith as a young person. when you marry in the Lord, when you bring your children to the font of cleansing blood in Jesus, then our joy is unbounded. Let us tend our vineyard. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word, and we pray that the Spirit of grace may write it upon our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.